Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bruce Feldman joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Bruce, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Bruce, before we get into the latest at Ohio State, you know, the upcoming college football season, we interviewed Baker Mayfield today. He was on with us on the show earlier here at Browns camp. And, you know, it was the first time that we had a chance to interview him since he's been on the Browns. Obviously, he comes off extremely well. And it feels like that he could really be the first quarterback to finally end this long drought. What's your take on Baker Mayfield heading into the NFL?
You know, just from dealing with him, our crew at Fox Sports had him a bunch of times. I ended up doing a couple of features on him for TV. And I will say this, and this is maybe a little irrespective of, you know, whether he can do some things that no quarterback has done there in a long time. But as an interview subject, strictly from that standpoint, he was phenomenal in that You could ask him the most awkward, potentially kind of embarrassing, the SID is not going to want you to ask the kind of question, and Baker's good with it. He doesn't take himself that seriously. I think he gets where, you know, kind of where you're coming from. He understands people have a job to do. I think he's really smart. I think he thinks really fast on his feet, and I think he's really comfortable in his own skin. And so, he was a great person to cover from that standpoint, from my perspective, just because, like I said, there was a lot of times where he was not perfect. He had some off-field issues and some embarrassing things. They weren't horrific, but they were embarrassing. And you could talk to him about it and ask him these questions, and he'd roll with it. And so I'm not surprised he's made good impression on people there. And I'm excited to see what he's going to do there just because, man, we did some games. I'm on the sideline. You watch it. And there is no doubt who's the most dynamic guy on the field. I don't care whether he's playing in the Big 12 or he's playing against Georgia and a loaded defense in the Rose Bowl. I mean, there's something to him. He has total confidence in himself, and there's nothing phony about that.
Yeah, we agree. I loved him coming out, and we're happy he's here, and we'll see where it goes and see how he develops. Bruce Feldman is with us, of course. Bruce, let's talk a little Maryland football here. The huge story over the last few days, last week really, with their strength and conditioning coach being released yesterday. The university comes out. We know the story with Jordan McNair, the student athlete who passed away due to heat stroke back in June. Where does Maryland go with this situation? Because yesterday I was like uncomfortable. I think they kind of said what they had to say. They took some responsibility for it, but yet DJ Durkin still remains on leave. And I don't know. I'm kind of frustrated by the whole situation because I feel like Maryland and their athletic staff, like, kind of in a way killed a football player. It's hard to say that, but that's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, just from and they took responsibility. That doesn't, you know, it's not going to make it any better for the family.
No.
You know, just from looking at this, I feel like there's a couple of stories tied together, and you have this horrific tragedy where a player died, and it seems like there was a horrific breakdown from the training room standpoint about, you know, these schools have these cold tubs that this shouldn't happen in this day and age. Now, obviously, they're big, you know, huge people who overheat, especially in some of these workouts. But there should have been more safety measures kicked into gear. But then you have the other part of this, which is tied to the ESPN story where you hear from some former coaches and players who paint a really ugly picture about Maryland football and how it was treating its players. And I think that story, hard to walk that back when you have a tragedy that is tied to it. You know, sitting there, I watched that press conference. I was in an airport yesterday, and I'm looking at it on my computer, and just, you know, you just think, our crew at Fox, we actually have the Maryland Texas game in the opener, and just thinking about, will DJ Durkin, no matter what they find, can they bring him back after this? And I don't know the answer to this, but at this point, I don't think it looks good for his prospects there, just because this story tends not to break apart. If anything, it gains a little more steam. And again, this is because there's a tragedy attached to it. It's not one of these that don't have that, and that's why I think it's in a different threshold than maybe a Tim Beckman story at Illinois was, or the allegations that flared up at Indiana at the end of Kevin Wilson's time, or we've seen stories like this where there's allegations of player mistreatment, but they're usually not attached to something where there is a fatality involved in it too.
You know, here in Cleveland, we have Jabril Peppers, who played for DJ Durkin at Michigan. He was on the Rich Eisen show, and he described DJ Durkin kind of like, he said, quote, kind of like a bully coaching. You know what I mean? He was very aggressive in the way that he coached. He said he thought maybe that would calm down when he became a head coach. But I mean, maybe there's something to this. Maybe he was this way. And he always talked about hiring the strength and conditioning coach there in Maryland is the most important hire he made. Like, this guy's going to change the culture. Maybe that is in line with what he's about and all that. I'm trying to put the dots together. I don't know DJ Durkin at all personally, but boy, it sounds like, maybe he has a history of this.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I wasn't there. I know DJ Durkin a little bit. I can't say I know him particularly well. The one thing, and I've had some conversations with people who both work there now and people who've worked with DJ Durkin in the past, and there's a disconnect there. One of the points that somebody made to me in regard to, I said, I've heard from a couple of people who were on teams where DJ Durkin was a coach, and this particular person said, you got to understand something. Somebody can act a certain way when they're a staffer, but when they're the head coach, it's different. I mean, they don't have to answer to the same amount of people. They run the show. Now, yeah, there's an AD, and in this case, Maryland's had a lot of instability in that job, but there's also been a hierarchy there. But it's really hard to say what happened. And I think the point, and I had this discussion again with somebody who was part of that program, and this person, as we talked about, it was the crossing the line is different for everybody, what that threshold is. And this person said, when I think it's crossing the line, when it gets really personal and when it gets really mean-spirited. And there's, you can be demanding without being a bully. And that's that word that Peppers used. And I think that's a hot-button word in this day and age.
Yeah.
And so when he says that, Jabril Peppers does, and this is somebody from another place, that's not going to play well on DJ Durkin's behalf. I know there was an extensive story in the Washington Post yesterday about a lot of players and their parents being very supportive of DJ Durkin and saying, hey, that's not what's portrayed in that ESPN story, is not what we know of him or how our experience is. And I think different people have different experiences. The fact that Jabril Peppers won on national TV and the prominent NFL player, a former Michigan player, and said that in that context, I think that's going to carry some weight a little bit, at least in the realm of public opinion, towards what exactly happened here.
Bruce Feldman, The Athletic, Fox Sports. I just can't believe how he could possibly keep his job. It's just so stunning to me that between all the bullying stuff and this kid dying, ultimately he's the head man. He's got to be held responsible. There's too much there, Bruce, to me. I don't know how you move on as a program, take responsibility and not fire the coach. I just don't get that.
It's going to be hard for them to, whatever they're going to find, to walk that back. I mean, not that this should matter in this degree, but to be honest, before any of this happened, I think DJ Durkin was trying to coach for his job there to begin with. So,
right.
This isn't a coach who was a coach who was already established there. I mean, so that only adds to it. I think, again, when you've had that press conference that we saw yesterday, when you have a lawsuit that seems to be coming down the pipeline, and it's in a very prominent, media market where this sort of thing just doesn't tend to blow over.
Right.
This isn't something that's happening on a fringe school somewhere. more when people aren't, you know, paying attention. So I think all that stuff adds up to it. And that's, I mean, I tend to think you're probably right. I don't know how, what the scenario is where DJ Durkin is able to return the sidelines there, because I think that if he does go back to coaching there, whatever they find, I think that would be a heavy publicity nightmare for them to withstand in this day and age.
Bruce, obviously DJ Durkin is not an established coach, as you say, but Urban Meyer is established as it gets, right? And obviously he's had a tremendous tenure here at Ohio State. We know the track record in Florida and all the arrests. And even early at Ohio State, there was some issue. It hasn't been as big a deal lately. We know now this whole story, Zach Smith, Courtney Smith. But from Urban Meyer's perspective of this story, what he knew, when he knew it, why this guy was on the staff, you know, at first it felt like Urban Meyer was definitely going to be fired. Now it seems like he's not going to be. I know the facts aren't all in on that side of the story in terms of what he knew. But what do you think right now is the most likely way that this ends up?
My guess, and it's a guess, I don't want to say it more than that, is that he will end up keeping his job if it's in fact, you know, what he said in that statement from a tweet, you know, whatever it was now 2 weeks ago, bears out that they determined that he did not mislead the university, that he handled the situation appropriately. Whether somebody wants to say, well, he did the bare minimum or whatnot. I mean, I try to think about what happened in that conversation with his boss, Gene Smith, and Gene Smith's telling him about Zach Smith, obviously no relation, and they're talking about this and knowing that, you know, Gene Smith's going to know that, okay, Zach Smith is the grandson of Urban Meyer's mentor. And the feeling is, okay, well, this is somebody you've gone to bat for in the past. And if Gene Smith's going, look, this is a police investigation, we can't, you know, I know it's tough for you, but I'm taking this out of your hands. Tell Earl, it's my call. Said, you know what, Gene made this decision, not me. I'm sorry, there's nothing I could do about it. That kind of I would have thought it would have absolved Urban Meyer of that responsibility towards his mentor. You know, I don't know. We don't know what those conversations were like. But the ironic thing about all this is I don't think this had anything to do with winning wins or losses. I don't think Zach Smith as a receivers coach meant Ohio State was going to win any more games. You're Ohio State. You can get plenty of, you know, really good receivers coaches. So just the fact that, you know, all this stuff is wading into it, there are just a lot of crazy subplots to this. As you said, this is, you know, one of the two best coaches in college football, and it's pretty remarkable how this thing has gone, considering where we were going into Big Ten media days, you know, whatever it was 3 weeks ago.
Bruce, I heard you on with Colin, maybe it was a week ago or so, when this story broke, and you had a percentage on where you thought it was going to go with Urban. Where are you at now with it in terms of will he get suspended? Will he get fired? Will he have no penalty at all?
Yeah, I don't know. The suspension part to me, and again, everybody has opinions. The suspension part to me doesn't quite add up, because at some point then you're acknowledging there's a serious breakdown, or there was some kind of guilt or some kind of, you know, admission of wrongdoing.
Right.
But yet we're going to keep him. You know, the fact that he has been out for a couple of weeks, whether you want to say that's an apt punishment or not, but having him sit out Oregon State, who I could coach them and they'll probably beat Oregon State, or, you know, whoever else they have before they get in the Big Ten game. And maybe it's a six game. So who knows? I don't know at this point. But my feeling, to get back to your question, is I'm leaning towards that I think he's going to be kept on. I don't know what they may have found in the emails, but the fact is, you know, they narrowed this investigation in scope, or else you wouldn't have put, you know, a 2 week kind of deadline on it. And I don't know. I could be wrong on this. Maybe they're going to find something that doesn't line up with what Urban Meyer said he did in his statement. I mean, that's entirely possible. You know, I don't know what else is in play, whether it's, you know, we've seen a lot of he said, she said, and all this stuff on Facebook and, you know, whatever, as it relates to Courtney Smith and their parents. And, you know, it's just, I'm not sure, you know, what's relative to this story as it relates to Urban Meyer, you know, coaching at Ohio State or not anymore. I think it's relevant. I just don't know how relevant it's going to be. Some of these other things feel like they end up becoming tangents to it.
Bruce, couldn't you argue that the timing of when they fired Zach Smith, to some degree, is an admission of guilt?
You could. The only thing is you don't know is when they went to – you don't know the conversations with Zach Smith. Was he being truthful with them? You know, did
right.
they go to him and that part? There's a lot of stuff that we don't know that – you know, Urban Meyer said a lot of stuff, probably more certainly than I'm sure he realized he should have said in Chicago at Big Ten Media Days. But there were some things that weren't – that I don't think were explained there that we don't know, and maybe they'll come out in the investigation. – That to me, that's one of the bigger questions I have is, you decided to fire him, you know, the night before Big Ten Media Days. What exactly was the tipping point here? Because if there were no charges brought in the wake of that, you know, what exactly was it? And if they confronted him and they found out that his story didn't line up, and they just said, hey, this is something we're not comfortable with, you know, then it's their right to make that decision at that point.
Bruce, great stuff, man. We appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Always good to be on with you guys. Thanks.
Thanks,
Bruce Feldman. He's one of the best in the biz. Insight on Ohio State, on Maryland, Baker Mayfield. Bruce writes for The Athletic now, of course, and part of the broadcast coverage of college football on Fox Sports. Eventually, we'll start talking some college football on the field. And,
yeah.
You know, you wonder how this affects Ohio State on the field. But for now, we're still waiting to find out what the result is.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.